gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
little white ball is life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone. T-Bone, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. Major number two in the books. I think it was a great one. We got a lot to talk about, but the golf high right now is soaring. So
unbelievable.
Feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Hey, before we dive into anything, T-Bone, we got to show you some love, man. Holding down the fort for the past 2 weeks. Doing a podcast by yourself is very difficult. It is awkward. I mean, but I think you did a really great job. I had fun listening to it myself. So everybody, show some love to T-Bone. Well done, my friend. Well done. And appreciate thank you for carrying the torch.
Yeah, anytime. Right back at you, the IT guy, for uploading it while you were in Europe. So
yeah. So I thought it was funny. You're like, maybe we'll get some boots on the ground. Yes, the PGA or the Ryder Cup is in Rome. So yeah, 2 weeks ago I had some family stuff going on, and so I appreciate all the kind texts from everybody about that. And then last week, yes, I was in Rome and Florence, but it was for a school trip, so I was very limited on my time, so I wasn't able to make it out to the golf course where they're playing the Ryder Cup. Look, I tried. I looked into it. It just wasn't going to work. The schedule is pretty packed, but maybe I'll kick myself that I at least didn't go out there to like buy some merch or something like that. But yeah, it wasn't possible, unfortunately.
Fair enough.
But
that's
yeah. So that being said, you know, golf week, unbelievably high right now. I never thought I would have said that coming off the PGA championship. I feel like we kind of rag on the PGA a little bit, saying that the Players is more of a major than the PGA championship, but Brooks Koepka comes away with the win, the first live tour player. Our prediction was Dustin Johnson was going to be that guy. Brooks comes out on top. And then, of course, the talk of the town, the block party. Unbelievable. We're going to break it all down for you. That's kind of the layout of the show. And then we'll give some other parting thoughts there. But, you know, to be honest, I did miss a lot of the tournament just with my school. I was on the other side of the world. So, like, you know, times are just awkward. But I was able to catch a little bit on Sunday. I mean, just great times. So, T-Bone, I'm going to turn it over to you. Take us away. Walk us through the week. Let's go.
Yeah, so I think starting off the week, the talk was the weather. So those of you that don't remember, PGA Championship got moved up. Used to be the last major of the year. It's now the second. And with a lot of tournaments being on the East Coast, and weirdly New York, which I have never really thought about, but all of Brooks' PGA Championship wins are in the state of New York, but we can get to that in a second. But anyways,
all of his PGA wins?
PGA Championship wins are in the state of New York.
Interesting. Okay. Sorry, continue. That's a fun fact.
Oak Hill and remember if Aaron, I think Aaron Hills was US Open, but you can do some research there. But anyways, yep. I think JT made a comment about it's going to be cold. And some New York reporter was giving him shit about it's not that cold, and it literally snowed like a week or two ago. And sure enough, there ended up being a frost delay on Thursday, and then we had some weather storms throughout the week. But it made for a great Sunday. The weather was perfect. At least it looked like it. And, you know, honestly, just to start off the week, just pure domination by Brooks. Almost ended the tournament with 366s, but went 66, 66, 67, which just extremely impressive. But, you know, I think there were a few, what's the word I'm looking for? Familiar faces around the leaderboard with the Scotty Schefflers, Rory, you know, some of those guys that were making it interesting, but this really was in control. Brooks is control for a lot of the tournament. And this was a big, big statement made from Brooksy.
Yeah, man, I totally agree. I mean, just with everything that has been going on in the golf world for the past year or so, And just him personally too. I mean, they talked a lot about it, right? We all saw Full Swing, and just like we talked about it too, just about how much of how down he looked compared to, especially when they're comparing him to Scottie Scheffler. Like, he was really down in the dumps, and he's had a lot of injuries to overcome. But I mean, it's a remarkable win. That I have a listener question that we'll get to here in a minute about Brooks Koepka. But so quick fact check. His first PGA championship in 2018 was at Belle Reve in Missouri.
Okay. So I was right.
yeah, clearly, right? Missouri, New York, right next to each other. I see the mix up there.
Yeah, same thing.
But so, yeah, so it's with, to your, I will say, though, I did turn into the leaderboard on Saturday before my flight. I didn't really like any of the names up there, to be honest. I mean, you had Victor Hovland, which, like, you know, he was my pick to win the British. So I think, and he's played well at the Masters this year too. So, like, he's definitely trending. But when you're playing, of course, like Oak Hill against a guy like Brooks Koepka, I'm not taking you yet, Victor Hovland. Then you had Justin Rose, Scheffler, but, you know, they're 5-6 shots back. And same thing with Corey Connors. I had more trust in Victor Hovland than Corey Connors. And then Bryson was in the mix too. But yeah, whenever I saw that it was just Brooks and like kind of those guys, I was like, man, he's got this in the bag.
100%. I saw waking up on Sunday, I'm looking at the leaderboard, and I'm just like, this is not really a threat. No one's really a threat. And I feel like I've kind of shit on Victor and don't trust him at all, even though he is a top 10 machine in majors. But, and I'll give him some credit. He played really solid. He played a lot better and hung in there a lot longer than I thought he would have. But I completely agree. It just felt like Brooks is he's the alpha. He is an alpha, and these are all betas on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
You've got Rory, you've got Scotty, but like you said, they're almost too far back. But Scotty did play really well. You know, two shots off the lead, fired a 65. He plays a little bit better on Saturday, and this is a different story, but yeah, the leaderboard, I didn't know it was going to happen. It was going to have to be a collapse on Brooks's part to lose this tournament. And I mean, every time there was a minor threat or a mistake on his end, he just made up for it. On six, he blasts the drive right, drops. He's got 200 out in rough, hitting over a pond into the hardest green, hardest hole in the course. No big deal. Plays a little cut around the tree, two putt, bogey, get out of there. And I think on 12, it's a par three, plugs it in like basically the lip of the bunker. You think, who knows, is he going to be able to get it out? Is he going to chunk it? Hits it to like somehow 15 feet and burns the edge. And I'm like, this is going to be really tough. I think par five, 14 or something, misses the green short, hits a mediocre chip, makes a 15-foot slider, and then the next par four, he just fucking bombs a drive onto the green. And then going back to this alpha thing, the most – I'm indifferent about Brooks. I go back and forth on if I like him. I think he's kind of be a little pompous from time to time, a little moody, kind of full of shit, but he's got a swagger about him. And on 16, when – Victor's in the bunker, plugs it into the lip. He's getting a rules official doing the drop. I'm like kind of thinking this is probably over, but this is a long time for Brooks to be thinking about this shot. And he goes, yeah, hold my beer. I'll take it from here, boys. Fucking knocks to 4 feet and the tournament's over. It's just like, this is a dominating. He has an alpha and he's got five majors now. You're on mute.
He's got five majors, man. That you can't argue with that. He's got five. I don't care if it's the same ones over and over again. He's still – look, I think there's still something to winning the Masters, right? There's just something about it. People remember Fred Couples more than anybody because A, a swag, but B, he won the Masters. So it's – but look, well, five? Five?
There was one thing – what I kind of thought about Brooks – is as disrespectful as it was, I always thought that Sorry, I hate to say this, but I've got the Astros game on, and Jordan just hit an opposite field grand slam, so that's cool.
Did he really?
Anyways,
Man, should I turn this on? Go Astros,
yeah,
right?
that's a
F the haters.
secondary
Don't care. We're based in Houston, Texas,
Astros
so go Astros.
Damn, that was incredible. Anyways, as disrespectful as this was, I always thought Brooks's majors were kind of a fluke. Long,
Oh.
kind of bomb and gouge courses, four majors quick, and it was like he came out of nowhere. And the fact that he's come back and won this one, it's like he is the real deal. And I saw a tweet about Brooks. He is literally his golf career. He's overcome adversity every step of the way. He wanted to go to Florida, wasn't good enough, played at FSU. Wanted to get on tour after college, played in Europe. Grinded it out on European tours. And then he gets on the PGA Tour eventually, kind of quiet, and ends up getting better and better, wins four majors. Then we have the downfall with LIV, injuries, all that stuff. Comes back, starts to get his game back, and wins another major. I mean, all of that, he's only 33, five majors. He can overcome a lot. It's insane.
You know what I heard the other day?
Hit me.
Brooks Koepka has won five majors before Phil Mickelson had won his first.
Wow.
Think about it. I'm going to Google it right now. How old was Phil when he first
We've talked about,
won
kind
the
of going
Masters?
back to the disrespect of Brooks. We've talked about, and part of that is him going to
Phil.
live, which I think sucks, but we always talk about how much time Rory has.
Yeah.
I mean, Brooks has a lot of time and he's got five, so.
Yeah. Phil was 34 when he won the Masters for the very first time and ended up with six. Brooks has five already, man. He's got five. I mean, are we looking at a double-digit major winner here? Like, it's hard to say no at this point, right? I mean, assuming they. I mean, he's exempt into stuff for year rounds. I mean, that's part of the LIV thing, right? They're not getting world ranking points. So you got to win a tournament to probably get in, or at least a major championship to keep your world ranking points. But man, that is so. I feel like this transitions us really well. Is Brooks Koepka the best player of this generation? Because Rory McIlroy comes to mind first, right? He's been on tour longer. Rory has four major championships. Brooks has five now. Just saying. But Rory does have a player, so I won't throw that in there too.
Yeah, and Rory has got how many FedEx Cup
Yeah, he's got like three, I think.
Which says a lot. It's not as you're not going to look back on those, but those are hard to win. Those are like
Yeah.
really hard to win, and it's hard to say. I think you can make
That.
that argument, but so another thing that I think that's worth talking about with Brooks, which I was watching a little live from the PGA Championship coverage after the tournament. And I also need to give a quick apology for my last episode. I think I made some comment about Brad Faxon getting like a bar fight, had a black eye.
Okay.
The dude has skin cancer on his eye, which
Oh,
is brutal. And
tough.
also saw
Big.
Charlie Hoffman has like terrible skin cancer on his arm. So hate to be a the uncool dad here, but all the golfers out there, keep the sunscreen on because skin cancer can't be fun. But
That's right.
anyways,
Wear your sunscreen, everybody.
Brad Faxon and Brandel were getting into a heated standoff on if Brooks should be on the Ryder Cup team.
Oh.
And it does kind of feel like if you do let him, you kind of open up the floodgates to live playing in the Ryder Cup. On the other end, he's definitely good enough to qualify and definitely be a captain's pick if not. So that's going to be a tricky situation there, but I kind of think he is going to end up on the team, but that'll be something to look out for in the coming months.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Zach Johnson, he's the Ryder Cup captain for the Ryder Cup this year in Rome. He's got some tough choices ahead of him. Another thing to consider is that the PGA of America, the PGA, they are the host of the Ryder Cup. It's not the PGA Tour. So you're going to tell me that the person who won your major championship is not going to represent you, and he is clearly one of the best players in the country. Look, Brooks, it's almost like the coach that's like forced me to take you out, play so well that I'm gonna have to like maybe give you minutes on the football field, basketball court, whatever it is. Brooks has done that in the golf world. He's saying, I'm playing so well, I dare you to take me off this team. Yeah, I mean, look, there's still a chance he might make it on points alone, especially if he plays well in the majors coming up, in the British and the US Open. But look, it'd be hard pressed not to pick him as a captain's pick. That's for dang sure.
Yeah, I mean,
He has to be on the team, right?
just thinking he almost won the Masters.
Yeah, second at the Masters, right? And then first at the PGA. He won the LIV, the tour in Orlando. So.
Oh shit.
Man, hey, how about Jim Nantz taking a shot at Zach Johnson or at a Dustin Johnson? Be like, you might not have seen it this last week, but he won down at LIV in Oklahoma.
Yeah, that was good. So I guess to put a bow on Brooks, he's 33. It's looking like he's going to be able to play in all the majors if he keeps this up. I mean, what's the over under on majors for Brooks?
So I want to segue this to a two-part question here because this is from loyal listener Will in California. So shout out to you, Will. He asked,
Okay.
is Brooks the most dominant player in majors since Tiger Woods? So I think these kind of go hand in hand, right? Let's do over under majors first. Over under, I'm going to put the line at, he's got five already. I'll say 9.5. Does that feel appropriate? Is that a little high?
Feels a little high, but I don't know.
He's 33, man. He has 10 more years worth of majors. He's won 5 in 10 years. And those were 2 years where there was A, COVID, and B, where he was injured.
Yeah, I think he's played in 36 majors, I think I heard.
So he
So
won his first
he's
one in
doing well.
2018, right? So
Yeah.
18, 19, 20. 21, 22, 23. That's 5 years. He's won like half. Not really, but you get the point.
Yeah.
At least in his mind, when he's healthy, he's won probably more than half.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you set the line at?
I'm gonna say eight.
Set a line. Give me a half. Would you do 8.5 or 7.5?
Eight and a half, and I'll take the under. I think I'll get right at eight. I think if he got to eight, that'd be really impressive. But at the same time, you could win 10. I mean,
I mean,
it's
nine and a
really
half
hard to
does feel
separate.
aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, think about how many great players there are. Justin
Yeah, he's gonna
Thomas,
have
Jordan
Scott. He's gonna
Spieth,
have
it's
he's gonna be
Scottie
going head to
Scheffler,
head with Rahm
Jon
and Scheffler.
Rahm.
Yeah. Every year. But I mean, he can do it. He can definitely
Yeah,
do it.
man.
So
He really can. So, yeah,
I guess the
this
follow-up
just.
question. So the follow-up question was most dominant in majors since Tiger.
Correct.
Who else would be? I mean, there's Rory with four, there's Spieth with three, JT with two, Rahm with two.
I'm looking, is it by year?
DJ has two. I mean, just on numbers alone. And again, he didn't really start playing in majors until what, 2016, 2017, maybe. So I think throughout his career, if he flames out or maybe has another injury and Rory ends up having kind of turn almost has like a Phil career from here on out, Rory can pass him up. It's just been weird. It's been 10 years, almost 10 years since Rory won a major. So it's almost too early to answer this question. I think Rory can easily pass him up in majors and be the more dominant, but it's like a 10-year gap, which is weird. But I
Yeah.
don't really see, like, I think Spieth or JT maybe a little too streaky. But another guy like Rom, I mean, I think Rom's just getting started, just starting to get his swag in majors. So
Yeah.
I think he could easily make it a run at him. And then again, kind of recency bias here, Scotty. I mean, he missed a cut last year in the PGA Championship, but it feels like he plays with his B or C game, and he's in the mix
Yeah.
every major.
I
So
mean, how about Scottie Scheffler looking like a UPS delivery guy on Saturday? Like, come on, Nike. We gotta do better than that. But I mean, just looking at the last major championship winners here, I'm just gonna rattle a few names off that are expected and then some that are not expected. So to your point, it's just really difficult, right? So Scheffler, Rom, Koepka, JT, Cam Smith, Colin Morikawa. I mean, Morikawa's won two in the last 3 years as well. We haven't even talked about him. Then you throw in Dustin Johnson, some other weird names too. Gary Woodland, Shane Lowry, even Phil. I mean, Phil's probably not going to win again, but Sergio, Patrick Reed. I guess the point is that guys can just come out of nowhere and go up and snag one, and that's it for the year. I mean, think about Matsuyama. Like, do we think Matsuyama's going to win a major ever again? I'm not going to say no. It's definitely possible, but like I wouldn't bet on it every single time. So I think that's what makes Brooks even just that much more impressive, honestly. He said it once where he's like, not everybody can win a major championship. So I think my odds are technically better. I don't think he's wrong. I really don't think he's wrong.
And you got a bunch of PGA Tour or PGA professionals playing in it.
Yeah, right. So yeah, to answer the question, the best one since Tiger. I mean, you can make the argument that Phil is the best one since Tiger, kind of. I don't know. Maybe not Phil. I
I
would
wouldn't
put.
say dominating for Phil because they're pretty spread out.
You're right. That's
You
true.
know, 16 years between his first and last major.
Man, I wish Spieth would have like at least won one since 2017. Like, and then Jordan beat him once
Rory,
or.
Rory.
Rory, yeah,
I mean,
Rory
it's
hasn't
been
won one
almost
in
10 years, and he's at
10
four.
years. It doesn't like my after talking it through, like my I think logically there's no other really good answer, but my heart doesn't feel that way.
Yeah. I don't know why,
Sorry,
but
Will.
the disrespect for Brooks is just there. But no, I would have to, I mean, we just talked about he started playing majors probably what, 2016, 17, and he's got
Really?
five. I mean, he's gotta be the answer. It just doesn't feel right. But yeah, I would say yes, he is the most dominant of majors since
Yeah.
Tiger.
So you might be right, Will. You might be right. But look, there are some dogs out there still that are either hungry to win more majors, guys like Morikawa, who are still just disgustingly young, or Victor Hovland, who's probably going to sneak up and grab one or two. So, but the thing is that it is so hard to win major championships, and there's only so many. But, you know, golfers' careers are long. That's, you know, Matt Fitzpatrick could very well win one again.
Oh, come
Even
on, come on, come on.
this my boy, you know. But even I'm looking at 2012 when Rory was winning majors, Ernie Els won the British Open for the second time. And that was 10 years after he won his first. So that's the point, is like it is such a long time. These guys have so much time to play. But it definitely, yeah, to your point, Brooks is playing against 20 other PGA professionals, but there was one man who stood above them all, the Block Party. Holy shit, dude, this guy just took the golf world by storm. Unbelievable. Scaff, tell me everything. Tell me your thoughts.
I felt like I was watching Tin Cup. Granted, it wasn't a US Open, but it just felt like literally felt like Tin Cup. I was telling coworkers today and my fiance about Michael Block. And they were like, people who didn't watch the tournament, they were like on the edge of their seat. I was like, you got to hear this. This was a movie.
Yes.
There might be a movie made about this. And you know, it was I think it was Friday. He was hovering around the leaderboard and just hits a nasty Hazel rocket. And you kind of thought that was the end of it. That's usually how these things go.
Yeah.
And the fact that he kept battling back, you know, Saturday he's on this presser and they're like, "You're playing with Rory tomorrow," and he's like, "No fucking way." He was drinking at the bar the night before. After Thursday, he gets emotional knowing that he beat Rom, and then, you know, Sunday, if you haven't seen it by now, it was literally a movie. This was a movie. So to kind of jump into it, on 15 par three, he hits a little choppy punch 7 iron and straight dunks it right into the hole. And he has somewhat of a weird reaction, but the crowd's going crazy. And then, you know, it kind of pans into him. Rory's hugging him and he's like, "What?" He's like, "No way. It's not gonna go in." And to play devil's advocate here, it almost felt like he was milking it a little bit, or he was just in shock, but claims he didn't know that it went in. And then, you know, that just made the whole week, but it got even better and better and better.
Yeah.
Fast forward to 18, gets up and down, makes a little slider, finished top 15, earns around 300K, qualifies for next year, and it gets even better. He's sitting in the bar after, gets a call from the tournament director at the Colonial, sponsors exemption, it's playing this week. You can't make this shit up. It was 10 cup. It was, you know, the end of 10 cup that his girlfriend says they're never gonna, you know, remember who won the US Open this year. They're gonna remember the 12. Granted, I think Brooks deserves a little credit. I think we'll remember this one.
Let's say we talked a lot about Brooks, just for the record.
Yeah, that was about 30 minutes on Brooks. But this tournament's gonna be Michael Block. And I literally just want to follow him at the Colonial now. Like I am
Yeah.
gonna be tuned in, tracking him all week. But just the series of events and the fact that he never went away and it just kept working out for the guy, it was incredible.
The guy's an absolute stick. We can't, I don't think we can underplay that. He's won like the California PGA Professional Year like 9 out of the last 10 years, right? He's played in like 4 or 5 majors already. Not many touring professionals have played in that much, actually. You know, even guys like friend of the pod, Chris Stroud, he has, I don't know if he's played in that many majors. He probably has, but based off just world ranking points. But like, he's never played in the Masters, and he's been a professional golfer for a long time now. But that's neither here nor there. Point is, the guy's an absolute stick, but he makes the cut. I heard Riggs say this foreplay on a reel, but usually this is a story that goes away after Friday. You know, it's like Freddie Couples used to lead the Masters after 36 holes for so long, and then he just fizzle out. Like, that's what this kind of felt like, right? But the fact that he stuck around and kept getting better, and his reactions to all the videos, it was so genuine, you know? People are saying he's the common man golfer. Part of me says yes and no. He's common man in the sense that he's not a touring pro, right? So this is his shot. And he knows that it was a shot. I mean, you don't talk about a guy who's living in the moment, and we got to be a part of that. Unbelievable. That's all time great. And
I
then,
just loved how candid he was too. He's like, "This is the best week of my life." He's like, "I love golf more than anyone." He's like, "You don't wouldn't even have to pay me to be here." He's like, "This is the best week of my life." And being able to
But
watch
like,
it was pretty awesome.
there's part of me that also doesn't think he's a common man person, because the common man golfer is not going out and finishing top 15 in the PGA Championship, right? But at the same time, he's out there shanking balls, but he's getting hole in ones. I mean, this guy he's an absolute legend. Side note too, he also got into the RBC Heritage, or the Canadian Open. He got exempted to the Canadian Open. Or he got a sponsor's invite, rather. So yeah, he's in Colonial, and now he's going to play in the RBC as well. I mean, there's a chance this guy could theoretically get a special exemption for the rest of the year. I mean, how outrageous would that be?
Mean, I'm gonna watch him. I'm gonna watch him
Yeah,
wherever
right?
he plays. He'll
And you know how he said he doesn't really hit balls? I love that. I
yeah,
think people spend
that's
too much
right
time
up
on the
your
range.
alley. That's
Man, just
right
go
up
out
your
and play
alley.
golf. right? Play golf, not golf swing. Like, yeah, you go hit balls, get loose. Still make sure you don't hurt yourself. And there's a time and a place to go beat balls. I get that. I'm not like completely taking a shit on it. But point is, I think people need to go play more. They got to learn how to score. And that's what this guy did, dude. I mean, how ridiculous was that up and down on 18 that he had? I mean, seriously, you're right. You nailed it. This was a storybook ending from Michael Block. And the block party is here. And I hope the block party is here to stay.
Love it.
His reactions, dude. Do you see him say he couldn't even look Justin Rose in the eye for like three holes?
Yeah.
And then he's playing with Rory, dude. Like his broad reactions were just perfect.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. I feel like the media kept trying to make him cry and they kind of did every time.
Yeah.
But another cool story too is he's qualifying with his son for the US Open. So there's a chance we can see some magic there too from him and or his son. So that's awesome. I'm here for it. I think it was a great overall, just a great major. It was pretty much went down to the end. Brooks earned everything. Insanely impressive. He's an alpha. He's the five majors after overcoming injuries and live and all that shit is a game changer. I'm curious to see where this goes. And then Michael Block just made the week. It was an awesome week. Awesome week.
If any, and I think this tournament will forever be known as the Block Party. It's the Block Party in Rochester, right?
That's the name of this episode. Gotta be.
Oh, there we go. We just stumbled upon it. The Block Party in Rochester. Man, how about that? I didn't even have to text you after this. But if anybody else would have won, we would never remember the winner. But because Brooks did, that's a massive story, obviously. So we talked a lot about
it. If Corey Connors somehow won this,
that's like offensive. Why would you even say that? That's offensive. No, I'm just kidding. I like Corey Connors.
No one would have ever remembered that. It would have been
exactly. Like literally, like I don't think if anybody outside of Spieth, Rory, call it Brooks. Like if John Rahm would have won, like cool. He won third majors, you know, back to back, I guess. But like if he didn't complete the slam, then like doesn't matter. So
yeah,
that's why I'm like, this is an unbelievable week for an unbelievable person, 46 years old, man. Like he probably gave up on the dream a long time ago. Right. Yeah. I mean, how many people do we know that gave up on the dream even just either recently or 5 years ago or 10 years ago now? Because we're getting a little older, not too old yet, but a little older. But then imagine like some of the friends that we know all of a sudden in 15 years are finishing top 15 in the PGA. Like, that's so cool, man. That is so cool.
Yeah. 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 I think he gave a lot of good shout outs to the PGA professionals also, which was good to see. And just made it that much more surreal.
Yes, totally agree. So if I'm not mistaken, T-Bone, next year, is it at the new
Valhalla?
Is that Valhalla? That's right. I remember the
Frisco's in a few years, if that's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Is that 25?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Valhalla is in Kentucky. Nope. And then Quail Hollow. Frisco's not till 2027. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I feel like Joe Biden saying, come on, man. So, again, unbelievable time. So, T-Bone, I think that kind of wraps it up, man.
I think we got a, this is your first episode back. I'll kind of wing it here, but got our first partner, our first sponsor. I still need to get you your bottle. I wish I would have gotten it to you for Italy, but
I needed
thank
it.
You guys who are using the promo code drinkingbuddy.com. Use promo code 3under at checkout for 10% off. Helps you make your tea times next morning. It's been a game changer, and I think a lot of the listeners will enjoy it. So Drinking Buddy is highly recommended, and use our promo at checkout.
Yes, please do. We we'll make sure we do that at the top of the episode next time versus towards the end. But hey, you know, we just had a ton of ton to do here, ton to get to as well. So yes, you know, drink a buddy. It's awesome. We love them. Vitamin D, vitamin B, vitamin C, replace what you lost the night before. So it's going to be great. Look, I'm going to be honest here. I haven't tried it yet, but I needed it in Rome. And so I'm a little upset, yeah. T-Bone, I didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm holding the stash. And I need to get it to you before I empty it out. So
yeah, hey, we need it before Memorial Day weekend. So everybody, place your orders now. Use promo code 300 so you have it by Memorial Day so that you can party accordingly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Great call. Great save, actually.
Appreciate you. So anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. What a week. I never thought I would say this, but the PGA Championship absolutely delivered for a tournament that's really kind of searched for its identity the last few years. This was absolutely phenomenal. The best thing that could happen. So we're out on a high. It's going to be great. Fort Worth next week, Colonial. It's a good tournament. Probably won't be as strong of a feel, but it's still a great historical tournament. Looking forward to it. We will be back next Monday to break that down. Anything else in the golf world, there's probably going to be some golf gossip, especially post-major championship. Those things tend to deliver about that time. But before we get out of here, follow us on our social media at 300ForPod. That is the number 3, 300ForPod, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe, rate, and review 5 stars. We appreciate you. We love our listenership. Go to the drink. Go to drinkingbuddy.com. Promo code 300. T-Bone, we've got 30 seconds. Last word to you.
Little White Ball's life.
My man. Thanks, everybody. I'm Scotty T for T-Bone, and remember,
Little White Ball's life.